This is the sound of crowd science.
We shoot a laser beam at this atom.
Is that a big canister of oxygen in the background?
Oh, there's a wasp in there.
Yep.
That's possibly the most disgusting thing I've heard this week.
But it's one of the nicest fun facts you're going to hear today.
So here I'm actually holding a donut.
What are you going to do with that?
Find out more at the end of this podcast.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Sporting Witness podcast from the BBC World Service with me, Rachel Naylor. Today I'm taking you back 30 years to the moment the first black African woman won gold at the Olympics. I've been speaking to the Ethiopian long distance runner, Daratu Tulu. It's the 7th of August 1992 and we're at the final of the women's 10,000 metres at the Olympic Stadium in Barcelona. 22 runners from 14 countries are lining up at the start of the track. Ethiopia's Daratu Tulu is just 20 years old and relatively unknown.
I had already competed in some races, but it was my first Olympics. I treated Barcelona like any other race, as I didn't realize the importance of the Games. I felt well prepared and my coach was very experienced. I didn't feel nervous. I was young and I was in a good shape, but I didn't think I was going to win.
Daratu grew up on a farm in the village of Bokodji in the highlands of Arsi in central Ethiopia. She spent her childhood herding cows, riding horses and running to the market as it took too long to walk. But she wasn't aware she was any good at running until she was a teen, when she started competing for her school. When Daratu was 15, she was scouted by Olympic team coach Hussein Shobo. But rural Ethiopia is very conservative and her mum didn't approve.
Girls are expected to wear long dresses and attend school. Wearing shorts and running with men is taboo and seen as wrong. My mom wanted me to be a good girl. I knew my mom wouldn't allow it, so I only told my dad, my sister and godmother that I was going to Addis to register at the athletics club.
Fortunately, her mom forgave her and the gamble paid off. Just 3 years later, aged 18, she won the 10,000 metres at the World Junior Championships in Bulgaria. The following year, she won the 10,000 metres at the All Africa Games in Egypt. And by 1992, she'd qualified for her first Olympics. The Games in Barcelona marked Ethiopia's return to the competition after 12 years, following political boycotts led by the Soviet Union in 1984 and North Korea in 1988. And, unlike other countries, with athletes competing in lots of disciplines, Ethiopia pinned all their medal hopes on long-distance running. Daratu was one of six women sent to represent Ethiopia in four events. Fortunately, she was unaware of the pressure and was just enjoying her first experience in the Olympic Village.
I remember I was amazed that the cafe was open 24 hours. It was always full of people. I loved the atmosphere of the Olympics as you get the chance to meet different kinds of people.
On the 1st of August, it was time for Daratu to make her Olympic debut. She faced fierce competition in her heat, including South Africa's Ilana Meyer, who was tipped to become Africa's first gold medalist in the women's 10,000 metres. But Daratu was unfazed.
I didn't know many of the athletes, so I wasn't nervous. I didn't find it tough.
And that's putting it mildly. Daratu finished first, nearly 10 seconds faster than Ilana Meyer, qualifying for the final. It was a nerve-wracking six-day wait, but thanks to her coach, Walder Meskel Kostre, Daratu kept her cool.
My coach knew what he was doing, so I just followed his instructions and kept on training. I wasn't worried about the final.
On the morning of the 7th of August, Daratu stayed calm.
It was a normal day like any other. I remember I had had a good night's sleep and it was my coach who woke me up.
With her white t-shirt under her red running vest, Daratu took her place at the start line on the inside of the track next to the reigning world champion, Britain's Liz McColgan. There were 25 laps between Daratu and a gold medal. From the gun, Liz McColgan took the lead. But that was all part of Duratu's plan.
I remember my coach told me to focus, so I listened. I kept my pace.
19 minutes on the clock, and with 6,000 metres down and 10 laps to go, Alana Meyer took the lead.
I managed to break up the whole field. Dorota Tulu slowly closed the gap and became our shadow.
I reached the Lena slowly after 3 or 4 laps. I loved and respected my coach, so I was running and thinking what he had told me.
And that's where Duratu stayed, just behind Alana Meyer, biding her time until the bell. On the 25th and final lap, with 400 metres to go, Duratu sped up, overtaking her African rival. She ran the last lap in an incredible 67 seconds. Alana Meyer didn't stand a chance. Duratu crossed the finish line at 31 minutes, 6.02 seconds, securing her place in history as Africa's first black female Olympic champion.
It felt great. It was sunny. I was feeling good.
The world watched as Duratu and Alana Meyer began a lap of honour, hand in hand, draped in their respective flags. This image became a symbol of African unity after apartheid.
It's normal to celebrate together, but this felt special. Firstly, we're both African. Secondly, it was the first time South Africans had participated since apartheid, so we had 2 reasons to celebrate. Even though we didn't know each other, sport is like a family. That's why we expressed our joy together.
It was something that happened in the moment. You know, and still, we do have a special bond. She also became the first African to win the medal that night. And that really was the beginning of African distance running for women. You know, it was good for our countries, it was good for Africa, it was good for women's running. And I think both for me and her that night was definitely a highlight of our careers.
Duratu returned home to crowds at Addis Ababa Airport as Ethiopia's first woman to win gold.
It was a special welcoming ceremony. They received me as a hero of the country. It was unforgettable. I received lots of prize money.
She was also given an honorary title in the army, but it's her legacy that means the most to her.
It was huge. The Barcelona race introduced me to the people of my country and the whole world. Above all, the win inspired Ethiopian athletes, especially women. That's why we still have many female athletes. This makes me very happy.
Duratu even inspired the women in her family, as her cousins, the 3 Dababa sisters, Yegayahu, Tirunesh and Genzebe, are all world-class runners.
Why is your family so good at running? What's your secret?
It's God's will. There is no secret. I am a hard worker. I am committed. I do my training. You also have to pray and be patient. There is no other reason.
Duratu went on to win 2 further Olympic medals in the 10,000 metres, a gold in Sydney in 2000 and a bronze in Athens in 2004. She's now the president of the Ethiopian Athletics Federation.
Even though Barcelona was my first Olympics, I went on to win many other races like cross-country and marathons. We won a few medals recently at the World Championships in the US, and the homecoming celebration at the airport took me back to Barcelona. It was a golden time for me and for my family. Thinking of those celebrations 30 years on makes me very happy.
Duratu Tulu was talking to me, Rachel Naylor, for this episode of the Sporting Witness podcast.
My question for Crowd Science is, are artistic brains different?
I want to know why light makes us sneeze.
It's called the achoo syndrome, actually.
Seriously? Crowd Science is the podcast that takes your questions about anything and everything.
How do we navigate in space?
What happens to bugs during the winter?
Can smell enhance your appetite?
And goes in search of the answers.
Even a few years ago, that would have sounded like science fiction.
How much do people need to spit into a pot?
We usually need just a few drops of saliva, let's say.
If it's interesting, we investigate.
Are humans naturally clean and tidy?
That's possibly the most disgusting thing I've heard this week.
But it's one of the nicest fun facts you're going to hear today.
So here I'm actually holding a donut.
What are you going to do with that?
That's Crowd Science from the BBC World Service.
I've been wondering about this for quite some time.
Just search for Crowd Science wherever you found this podcast.